Next speaker is Mabray McRae. His topic is on extractable soil phosphorus related to phosphorus fractions and sugarcane yield on Florida histosols.
Thank you. First, acknowledge my co-authors, Alan Wright, Ron Rice, Yan Liu, and Xiangming Ji. All played major roles in the work that I'm going to discuss today. Basically, this is important because the area I'm going to talk about is a little east of the area that was in the previous talk. This is in the Everglades agricultural area. The phosphorus extraction, phosphorus recommendations for sugarcane are important because it's an important BMP that growers use to meet the phosphorus load requirements in drainage water moving south to the Everglades. The Everglades agricultural area is an area of about 700,000 acres. In and adjacent to that, there's about 400,000 acres of sugarcane, and 80% of that are on histosols. Currently and for many years, the extractant that's been used for recommendation for phosphorus on organic soils has been water. We've known for a long time that there's been problems with this extractant and the recommendation, and we've worked on this for at least the last 15 years to try to come up with something that's an improvement. Basically, the water extractant was developed for short-term crops like vegetables and works reasonably well for them. Sugarcane is a much longer-term crop, and we think we need to include some reserve P in that extraction to be able to adequately represent what's available to the crop. The objectives were to quantify soil P fractions in selected EAA histosols, to relate extractable P using the four extractants to these fractions, and finally to use this information about the extracted P forms to explain the relationships between extractable P and sugarcane yield response. First, the phosphorus sequential fractionation was done to determine labile P, iron and aluminum bound P, phosphorus bound by humic and fulvic acids, phosphorus bound by calcium and magnesium, and finally residual P, and also did a separate analysis for total phosphorus. Basically, the plant availability of phosphorus decreases in this general order, or this is an increases in order of recalcitrance from labile P, most available, iron aluminum bound P, humic fulvic, calcium magnesium, and residual P. There were four extractants used for phosphorus availability. Water and acetic acid are both 4 cubic centimeters to 50 mils of extractant. The mixture stands overnight and is shaken for 50 minutes before filtering. Bray 2, ammonium fluoride, and HCl in a 2.5 centimeters to 16 mil ratio, and it stands for 10 minutes and shaken for 5. Malic 3 is a more complex mixture that is in a 2.5 centimeters to 25 mil extractant ratio and shaken for 5 minutes. These are the site characterization and yield responses. Basically, we had 7 sites. And these, as I say, these were done including experiments over the last 15 years. The first 4 are banded experiments going from 0 to 144 kilograms P per hectare. The 5th was a similar test that is not included in the yield data because of poor stands, but it was included in the fractionation work. The first 5 sites were used for fractionation. In the yield relationships, we also included sites 6 and 7, which were broadcast experiments, broadcast phosphorus from 0 to 59 kilograms P per hectare. The pHs range from 4.8 to 7.3. The soil series, mainly these are all organic soils, varying in soil depth from Terracea is greater than 1.5 meters over limestone. The Dania is the shallowest, that's less than 0.5 meters to limestone. Basically, there were in the 6 tests that we considered for yield relationships, there were some yield response in all the tests, and in site number 7, there was only 1 out of 4 years of yield response. We looked at the first 4 in terms of determining a appropriate banded P rate for yield response. And this graph compares in the y-axis annual P fertilizer requirement. The fertilizer requirement was determined by using those sites from which there was a significant yield response, using linear and quadratic regression to determine the appropriate P requirement. If the linear and quadratic regression wasn't significant, we use single degree of freedom contrast. The x-axis is the relative sucrose yield with no P fertilizer. So if you come out here to a 1, it would indicate that you got basically no response to P fertilizer. So the negative relationship between P requirement and relative yield without P fertilizer, as you would expect. The highest P requirement we found in the study was 33 kilograms P per hectare per year. This is close to the current maximum of 36. So we're recommending that we keep the current maximum of 36 kilograms P per hectare per year. The soil fractions, the total phosphorus had quite a bit of variability in the locations, ranging from 352 to 944, showing there's a good bit of variability in total phosphorus in these EAA histosoils. In terms of the different forms of phosphorus that are there, generally there was increasing percentage of total P with increasing recalcitrance of the phosphorus form, with the exception of sites 2 and 5, in which the highest percentage was in the humic fulvic fraction. These two soils were the most acid sites. Site 2 was a pH 4.8, site 5 was a 6.2. I'd like to look at the relationships between the relative sucrose yield and the different extractants. Basically, if you look at the y-axis, a 1 would indicate that relative yield is 1 without soil phosphorus added, and would indicate there's no response to phosphorus fertilizer. As you go down the y-axis, it indicates that there is an increasing response to P fertilizer. This is related to the water extractable P. The problem with this relationship is that with site 2, which was the most acid site, you had a very strong response to phosphorus at this site with a relatively high extractable P with the water test. In this range of 8 to 11 grams P per meter cubed with a water extractable test, the current IFAS recommendation is not to apply fertilizer. Yet we got a very strong response here. That's the problem we've seen with water, and that in acid soils, it indicates there's a high level of phosphorus availability when actually you still get a very strong response to fertilizer. So that's one indication of the problem with the water test and why we need to move to something else. The water extractable P and P fractions, water is a strong negative correlation with pH. It was strongly correlated with labile P, had a negative correlation with calcium magnesium bound P and residual P and total P. In regression models, we found that the labile P was positively, that water extractable P was positively related to labile P and negative with calcium magnesium bound P. So essentially, water extractable P is measuring labile P and nothing else. Now looking at the acetic acid extractable phosphorus, again, and this is an extractant that was proposed as a replacement for water back in the 90s. It's looked fairly good for many years, but in the study that we had, we found one site that did not work at all. And this was site 4. Which had a pH of around 7 and an acetic acid value of 80 to 90 grams P per meter cubed. In the previous proposed calibration, there would have been no P recommendation above about 40 on this scale. So again, this is a situation where no P would have been recommended, and yet we've got a very strong response to P fertilizer. So again, there's sites out there in which the acetic acid test does not work well. Looking at the acetic acid extractable P and P fractions and correlations, correlations was not related very well to labile P, was negatively related to iron aluminum bound P, and had a positive correlation with residual P, which is the most recalcitrant form. But the regression relationships, acetic acid related positively to labile P overall, negatively with iron aluminum bound P, positive with humic fulvic P, and positive also with residual P. So the acetic acid is including some of this residual P, which is not very plant available, which is a problem. Bray 2 extractable P would be potentially a possible decent relationship, except for the similar relationship at site 4. And again, you, in the lower right-hand quadrant, you've got a strong relationship with strong response to P fertilizer here, but it was a relatively high extractable P with the Bray extractant. And again, in the relationships, the correlations, positively with labile P, positive with iron aluminum bound P and humic fulvic. And the regression relationship with Bray 2, positive with labile P, positive with humic fulvic P, but also positive with residual P. So at least in some sites, you're pulling out some of this less available phosphorus, so that is not work across all soils very well. The malic 3 extractable P was the only extractant in which we were able to determine a significant regression model with relative yield. In order to define this relationship better, I sliced the x-axis into 1 gram per meter increments to look at the mean relative yield and minimum relative yield versus malic 3 extractable P. And when I looked at the mean relative yield versus malic 3, the strongest response to P fertilizer was at values less than 20. I also wanted to look at the minimum to make sure that we were considering all locations well in terms of applying adequate phosphorus. And using the minimum, we reached a plateau at about 25 on the malic 3 test. We had one location in which we got a small response up to 29. So basically, I think you can define the response zone as primarily being below 20, with some possible response up to near 30 with the malic 3 test. Looking at the relations with the P fractions with malic 3, malic 3 is negatively correlated with pH, but the correlation is not as strong as with water. Labile P is positively correlated with malic 3. Iron aluminum is positively correlated, as also humic fulvic. In the regressions, we found a positive correlation with labile P and iron aluminum bound P. There was none of the more recalcitrant forms that were positive in terms of correlations or regression analysis. So basically, in conclusion, we determined that water extractable P measured only labile P, which in a crop like crops like vegetables may be acceptable. In a crop like sugarcane, I think it's a problem, particularly with the pH sensitivity of water in the really acid soils. It extracts a lot of phosphorus that does not appear to be available to the crop. Acetic acid removed labile P, humic fulvic P, and residual P. Similarly, Bray 2 removed labile P, humic fulvic, and residual. And this residual that is pulling out is a problem because it's not very plant available. Malic 3 removed labile P, iron aluminum bound peat, and some pubic fulvic, and it was the only extractant that measured labile and non-labile peat while excluding the more recalcitrant residual peat. So Mehlich 3 was also related best to relative sucrose yield, and I think the fractionation work explains why we got the best relationship. So we are proposing these calibrations for the Mehlich 3 test for sugarcane on organic soils. As I said before, we're going with the 36 kilogram P per hectare as the maximum P rate at very low soil test values. For plant cane, no P would be recommended above 30. Because we're recommending banding as a BMP for phosphorus, we're recommending the growers only take samples before they plant, because once you band, it's difficult to get a representative sample. So if they take a sample before they plant, then for the ratoon crops, we would go up slightly in the phosphorus recommendation to account for soil tests going down over time. And in oxymants, the work was supported by a grant from the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, also donations from the Florida Sugarcane League, and was supported by the major growers in the EAA and by Wedgeworth Incorporated.
Thank you, Mabry. We are 2 minutes behind, but go ahead if you have a question, sir. Yeah, by the way, questions. Just want to take a break. Please come back after 8 minutes, because we're trying to catch up with the regular scheduling. Sorry, sir.
Did you identify what was different about Site 4?
Site 4 has very low iron and aluminum levels. I think when you were looking at what was available in terms of the extractions, that seemed to be playing a role. But still, the Bray and acetic tests were pulling out a lot of P, because they were pulling out from other fractions, I think.
So is there any allowance for that type of soil for the grower?
Well, I think that the Mehlich 3 works reasonably well there still. So I think we're planning to shift to the Mehlich 3. I think we'll be okay with that. I think with acetic acid, it's a problem. There's no way to really separate it out unless you do a fractionation and know that there's low iron there.
More questions? And for the other authors, they're still here. If we have questions for them. Yes, ma'am.
We measured total values of that. It didn't include it here, but we did do that, yes. In the low pH, there is, yes, we did. It was lower than the high pH, but there were still. Yeah, I think the percentage was higher in terms of the percentage that was there, but yeah, there were still. Okay.
Thank you. Another question? Yes, sir.
Now, for Mr. Sato,
yes.
You said Bray, which one?
Bray 1.
Bray 1.
Yes.
Okay. And you were using Bray 2.
Bray 2, the stronger one. Right.
Much stronger.
Yeah.
More questions? Okay, we'll give a hand to all the speakers.